Good morning, and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
I'm well.
You look good.
I look real good for radio.
I should hold the microphone up so everybody can see you.
Yeah. Please don't. Hey, we made it through Thanksgiving.
I know.
And it's December.
Can you believe that?
No.
Well, it was like 33 degrees when I went to bed last night. So.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that kind of felt like
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And it's King Tide week.
Oh, that's right.
Starts Wednesday, I think. Yeah.
I totally forgot. And I live out there where we get trapped, you know?
Oh, that's right. You do. You become an island.
I remember the year they took Shirley Morrissey out in a canoe.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yes. It's our, those are our urban legend kind of things.
Yeah, yes.
Well, now that we're officially, I know that it's not officially winter yet, 3 weeks till winter, but weather-wise and food-wise, to me, it's winter.
Yes. Yeah. And I've been thinking about that because I have already seen it already, you know, it's wintery, so I'm kind of doing wintery cooking, but I'm not using enough vegetables.
It's an
easy thing for me to fall into. You know, it's meat and potatoes, sandwiches. It's just not enough vegetables. I mean, we'll have a salad for a meal, but it's not like spring and summer where everything is so plentiful and people are, you know, trading you zucchini for muffins and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you have vegetables all the time that are just there and so you use them for every meal.
Yeah.
And so I think I have to be more conscious about.
It's more of an effort, I think, too.
Yeah.
But I've been trying, and I found some really nice green beans, and I mean, winter squash potatoes. I mean, you know,
it's like a hopscotch game.
Yeah, right. So trying to work more, yes, salad of course, but to work more actual veg, and there's such good options all winter long. I mean, broccoli is always good.
Yeah,
you know. That kind of stuff, it's always there. But just recently I bought green beans and they were great. And all I did was steam them and then drain them and throw in some butter and some garlic and something else. I can't even remember. Just like three things mm-hmm. and I tossed them until the butter melted and they were really good.
Yeah, I really like green beans. But that's it. I just have to be very conscious that I am making vegetables with every meal, except maybe breakfast. Although we eat a lot of asparagus for breakfast.
We're more of a fruit at breakfast kind of thing because I make a smoothie for a short smoothie for Tom every morning with his breakfast. And, you know, a million times I've said I supreme an orange every single morning for that guy. So... He gets all of his daily fruit requirement in one meal.
Yeah.
And very few veg unless I'm making breakfast tacos or something where I'll throw in whatever's in the fridge to get rid of it.
Yeah. That's what those are for.
Yeah. That's right. Tacos. Yeah. But I'm thinking about, I tend to forget that I have a slow cooker. Because it's in, you know, it's in a corner cupboard and I don't use it for most of the year.
Well, and we're not working. It's not like, oh, I have to leave at 8:00. I should start dinner, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But there are such good winter things to do with, and you, even if you're not leaving the house, it's still like a free pass at dinner time.
Yeah.
So
that's a really good point.
I'm going to call mine out and start going through the things that I know I like to make in a slow cooker and, you know, like just chili and stew and that kind of stuff, but also research some new recipes and see what I come up with because too easy.
No, that's a really great
idea.
And
it's really a one-pot dinner also, bonus. So.
Yeah.
Slow cookers, I'm pulling mine out of the cupboard. It's coming out of retirement.
Such a good thing for beans too, you know?
Yeah, really good thing for beans. Yeah, I like it. So we've had access to some great salmon.
Yes.
And so, I don't know, that's what I did salmon one night. I haven't done anything really... remarkably different since I saw you last, but I have been thinking very recently, just in the last day or two, about new things I want to try, or things I haven't made a million for a long time since last winter, like shepherd's pie.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Pot pie.
Yeah.
Two versions of dinner pie.
Well, in the past, I will have pie crust in the fridge, or in the freezer rather, and I would store it in discs, you know.
Uh-huh.
But lately what I've been doing is I roll it out between two pieces of plastic or...
Wax paper.
Not wax paper. Come on, brain. Silpats. I have a lot of Silpats.
Oh, yeah.
That,
okay.
And then I have it in the freezer. And it works for me to store it that way. I just have to make sure that the ends are sealed so they're not drying out. And then it's ready to go and it's rolled. And it just takes about 10, 15 minutes to thaw so it's pliable enough so that I can get it in a pan without it cracking, you know?
Yeah.
And so I have been making pot pies. But shepherd's pie, what a great idea.
And same thing, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you treat it different, you know, in the way that you prepare whatever it is you're going to put in it. But I do love it, and it's a really good leftover. Like, leftover shepherd's pie with an egg on top is breakfast.
Oh, I never would have thought of that.
So, and we always have leftovers. You too. It's two people.
Yeah.
You're going to make something in an 8-inch pie pan or a 9-inch pie pan. You got leftovers.
Well, I've grilled, griddled, you know, mashed potatoes that were left over.
And
then they get crunchy on the outside and you're there. There you go. It's breakfast, honey. Here's an egg.
Hey, it's good.
Yeah.
Really good.
But I never thought about, you know, a whole piece of shepherd's pie. It's true. It is breakfast.
Leftover potatoes and breakfast tacos. Very good. Very good. Yeah. I'm wondering though, I love that idea of prepping the pie crust ahead and freezing it, because you pull a puck out of the fridge, a ball of pie dough that's been wrapped, and it takes forever to get to the point where you can roll it out. So
yes.
Great to pre-roll. But I wonder about pre-rolling and putting it in a pie pan, and freezing it that way.
You know, I've done that and it works. You just have to make sure that it's sealed, you know, that you've got plastic wrap around it, which I don't necessarily love to do. But
yeah, I don't either.
The other thing is the pan itself is deep, so it takes up a decent amount of freezer room. I can always slide. I have those plastic flexible cutting boards, you know.
Yeah.
I really like those. I use them a lot, and I have a lot of them.
Like a mat.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I put whatever I have rolled out on that, and then it always slides onto the top of everything, whereas a pie shell in a dish, if your freezers are as crammed as mine, I just don't have room for that. Whereas I have room for that thing to slide it on the top.
That's really why I
do it that way.
I think that's a really good idea. When you were just saying you don't like to wrap it, use too much plastic wrap, but you really have to in that case.
Yeah.
I was wondering if my bag and seal kind of thing could suck all the air out of. Like a plastic bag situation. I have no idea.
I don't know either.
If it would just shrink wrap my...
Yeah, I don't know if it has to be totally air-free. It just can't, be out in the open.
Right.
You know?
Right. But I think that really for that kind of... Well, for anything, you're going to get ice crystals if you don't have it completely sealed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just will.
Yeah.
There ain't no helping it. Anyway, that aside, I think I love the idea of pre-rolled crust. That's brilliant.
Well, I think that's why they sell so much of it in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Just plop it in a pan. Ba-ding!
Oh, you mean you can buy pre-rolled?
Don't they have it in like discs?
You're right.
Yeah.
They have it in
Not that I've ever used them.
No, it's
I have.
Pre-rolled, but then it's rolled up.
Yeah.
But it's soft.
Yeah,
so you just unroll
right right into a dish.
And that might be a way even better idea than everything we just said. I don't know.
It's so sad. I don't even know how I am a co-host on this show, because I, you know, for all the holiday meals, because you were like, what, you know, how was your Thanksgiving? And I'm like, well, the reservations were great. You know, we always go to a restaurant so I don't have to cook a giant meal. And then,
well, and Thanksgiving at my house was, I made a really extra specially nice roast beef sandwich and a ramekin of, you know, put this in the microwave and warm it up leftover macaroni and cheese and some olives and pickles and a little dish of sliced apples with blue cheese, and wrapped it all and put it in the fridge and came and did a radio show while my husband had basically lunch for dinner. But I don't care.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
As long as you're thankful.
That every day.
Yeah.
Seriously, every day, pretty much all the time. Did you see the thing? Because I know that you and I both check New York Times cooking pretty regularly. Did you see the cranberry grilled cheese?
No.
Did you see the cranberry grilled cheese?
No, what is it? Is it just a grilled cheese with cranberry sauce?
It's just a grilled cheese with sharp cheddar cheese grated, and which I never do for a grilled cheese, but sounds good.
Yeah.
And cranberry sauce, and that just sounded so good to me.
Kind of like stuffed French toast.
Oh, my gosh.
Doesn't that sound kind of the same?
Yeah, kind of.
What a good idea.
Yeah, I know. I have some really good aged cheddar, and I'm going to try it. I will definitely try it. What are you thinking about?
Well, do you ever watch old episodes of Julia Child?
No, but I have. I love when
I don't on purpose, but I love when I stumble on one, you know.
Yeah.
And
the internet knows what we love.
Yeah, yeah. and maybe a week ago I saw one, and she had some young man on there, and it was when she was old enough that she had like split off shows. This was like Baking with Julia.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
she
yeah.
was pretty hunched over.
What
and
a good cookbook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Julia. Oh, yeah. And she was pretty old, but she had this young Austrian man on with a really thick accent, and he was doing some kind of cake. I don't even know if I ever got the name of it, because it was like Mit Schlob or something that doesn't sound delicious. You know,
yeah.
I mean, anytime you call something schlob, I'm not going to want to try it. But it was the strangest recipe. So it was a cake, like a 9-inch cake that you would make in a springform pan, but it wasn't very deep, you know, just a little like cake for coffee. But he used 2 1/4 cups of poppy seeds.
What?
For the flour. Yeah.
That's expensive, yeah. Not to mention bizarre.
Yeah. Yes. And then he had 1 1/3 cups of ground ladyfinger cookies.
Oh.
Isn't that just the strangest thing?
Now, wait a minute. You mean ladyfinger crumbs?
Yeah.
How would you even? They're so cakey. How would you get
I don't know. I mean, I think if they put them in a food processor.
Yeah.
But so that was like what we would call flour.
Okay, okay.
So poppy seeds, so many. I used to work at the spice store downtown, and I remember in the time that I was working there, it became a fad for people to come in and buy great quantities, 10, 20 pounds of poppy seeds they would order, because they have a very slight, what's it called when something is makes you hallucinate?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Slight hallucinogens in them, you know?
Yeah.
And so there was something going around on the internet that you could soak, you know, pound quantities of them and that you could get high. Oh, my gosh. And it was so embarrassing, because somebody come in and they'd be like, I want 20 pounds of poppy seeds. And I'm a baker. I bake for a living. What are you going to do with them? Make muffins, and I can do math, you know. I mean, it's approximate, but I know that that amount of poppy seeds would make 1 1/4 muffins, you know. That's how many muffins it would make, and there's not enough flour in this county, you know, to make 1 1/4 muffins. Plus, there's not enough time in his life. Oh, and it was just, anyway, I'm like, really? But finally, the owners decided that they weren't going to fill any orders that were over 0.5 pound, because they just didn't want people like that in the store, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was crazy
you
for
mean
a while.
Stupid people, because really that was completely crazy. Although I do know that if you're going to do a drug test, you don't want to have been eating poppy seeds.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
They do, I think,
because of that thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But seriously.
I know.
If you want to get high, that
I know.
Bad.
I'm like, and every time I'd be like, this is not why I took this job. Anyway, so it was funny, because Julia is an honest person, but a very kind person. You know, she's not mean by any means. And so it was, this thing had the ladyfingers, all the poppy seeds, poached apricots, and really not too much of anything else.
And poached apricots sounds really good.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know if I'd want them with 2 1/4 cups of poppy seeds.
Yeah, who knows?
So she took a bite, and she's like, oh, this is, I've never tasted anything quite like this. It was just so cute. And as the end of the show went on, she's like, well, this is quite an achievement. You know, isn't that like the cutest thing? I've never, ever heard her not say something was good or tasty, you know?
Yeah.
But you could tell, man, it was just not something she wanted in her mouth.
Well, you can tell just by the ingredient list. Holy cow.
Oh, I know.
What was he thinking? Hey, before we get back to what we have or haven't been cooking, I do want to remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. Both fine organizations possess websites that you should visit regularly, and if you never have, you should get busy and go there because they're full of interesting and useful information.
Yeah, they're both really great places.
Yeah, they are. They're great places, and we're all invited anytime. So,
speaking of that coffee cake, I think it was probably that coffee cake that got me thinking, but my grandma used to make these German coffee cakes, Kuchens. They're just yeasted coffee cake.
They're yeasted, yeah.
And so I got plans to make one of those this week. I think I'm going to make it with cherry and raspberry, just because that sounds really good.
Yeah.
My grandma made them with apple, but I'll make them with apple next. But I really like cherries.
Yeah, I really like cherries too, and I really like dried cherries.
Yes, yes.
And I mean, I
cherry
kind of
jam.
Like... Cherry yeah. In every possible iteration, except for cherry flavored candy, I don't care for cherry flavor.
Okay, it is very different than cherry.
If someone's made it, you know what I mean, like the kind you would put in a coffee drink or a juice drink or something.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Yeah,
but cherries, wow, yes,
I just love them.
I do too.
And I have friends that don't like them, which I can't even imagine. And I think I was talking to them, and that's why I'm like, no, I have to go support cherries. I'm on the cherry side. That's how I got the whole cherry thing in my brain.
Hey, I want to know, before you're allowed to say another thing,
okay.
Apparently, I want to know your take on bay leaves. We may have talked about this before, but... I think last time we talked about it, which was a long time ago, right after that, one of our fabulous listeners offered a huge amount of fresh bay leaves.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
And I went home and washed them and dried them and plucked them off their stems and put them in sealed containers in the freezer. And my opinion of bay leaves has risen exponentially with the appearance of fresh bay leaves.
Oh, that's great. No, I think that they're necessary, especially in soup and stews, but they're good with peas. I just think that they're delicious. The thing that with any spice or herb, the thing that is always a little scary for me when I'm making a large batch of something and I have something that's new and fresh, or like those bay leaves, especially bay leaves, because you never know how potent they're going to be.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're going to wreck something, but the thing I'm afraid of is the other way, that they are not, you're not even going to, they're not going to add anything because
right.
they're going to be so diluted or just not there in any flavor. And it's not a thing like rosemary, like, oh, there's rosemary. It just adds, it's not even really umami. It's just a little bit of something that makes it taste better. It's like this thing that brings everything together in a really wonderful way.
I
really like them.
It's definitely a nuance. Yeah. And I've used dried bay leaves forever. But I just find that these ones that I can take out of my freezer and toss in the pot are just the best.
Yes.
Really. Thank you so much for giving us
And
those.
I've seen, I mean, and I'm, I always want to just pluck some from them. I mean, I've seen laurel trees around town, and I wonder if they're all the same potency. You know what I mean?
There's
but
a lot of
were
kinds
really good.
Of, but Bay Laurel, that's the place.
Yeah, yeah.
that's the place you must look for bay leaves.
Oh, dear. Poor Linda's brain.
So what have you been cooking? I made meat sauce recently.
Oh, I did too. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Whenever I see, it's usually a special on mushrooms or a special on sausage. I'm just like, oh, I'm going to make some of that and put it in the freezer.
Yeah. So for me, sometimes it's a special that's happening in my fridge and it won't be special for that much longer. Mushrooms especially. Like maybe I am guilty of wanting a variety of mushrooms. So I often have too many mushrooms.
Yeah.
And that's not that's not a horrible thing to have, but you do have to get busy.
Yeah.
Use them. So, yeah. Well, my sauce was mushroom heavy.
And I had that. No, but that's delicious when it is.
Yeah.
I had that weird experience. Well, it wasn't really weird, but just, you know, where you learn something, where I was making mushroom soup, so it's all mushrooms. And then the mushrooms, they weren't old, like they weren't rotten, or you know how there's that horrible smell that old mushrooms
have. And they can get slimy.
Yeah. So they weren't slimy, but they were definitely blown apart, like where, you know, when you buy a mushroom, you want it, the cap to be all curled in and touching the cap so you don't see any of the gills. But all the gills were exposed. So they were elderly, but they were not rotten or slimy. But the soup tasted so much better. It had so much more mushroom flavor because I was using adult mushrooms as opposed to teenager mushrooms.
Yes.
And so that was a revelation to me. And so now I always try to use blown apart mushrooms when I'm making something with mushrooms because it just had a much better flavor. And it turned out as time went on and I experimented with it, it wasn't that was a special box of mushrooms. It was just that it's, for me, just true that there's just a lot more mushroom flavor.
It's like they ripen, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But they're like avocados. You know, you look at them, boo, and oh, crap. You know, they go from unripe to rotten in just the blink of an eye. And so it's not something that...
It requires attention.
Yeah, you can't...
Which I'm really good at sporadically.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they're always covered in plastic, so you can't smell if they're blown apart, if they're rotten, which would really be awful.
And I tend to buy them bulk, and so they're in a brown paper bag, and you can't see them. Mm-hmm. That's like a invisibility cloak. Seriously.
In the fridge.
Let me think. Is that green beans or is that mushrooms? Pick it up and shake. I don't know. It's crazy. I will say, though, that along those lines, dried mushrooms, rehydrated dried mushrooms are really intensely flavorful.
Yes. That's really true.
Yeah.
You know, my friend Patty, this show was all about her last time.
I know. She's a guest star so
yes,
often.
Yes, yes. But she has this giant dehydrator, and she's very serious about gathering, you know, chanterelles and king boletes and all the really delicious mushrooms that we have here growing wild. And she dries them all. And so she has them all year, and it's wonderful what she does. I mean, she'll have a whole kitchen table full of mushrooms, and she'll slice them up and dry them.
I love that. I love having the jars of dried mushrooms on the shelf because it's just it's a luxury ingredient that's not going to go bad. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got it well sealed up, you can just have it whenever you want it. But I also, you know, I see the little cardboard pint containers mm-hmm. full of lion's mane.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, yeah. It's so hard for me to resist that. Well, it's impossible. I have them.
Yeah, well, but you can just get them, you know, in the fall. I mean, just one time a year. And they're so good.
They're so good.
Yeah.
They're so good. Although we do have local people doing shiitakes year-round, mm-hmm. and they are, I think, I would put shiitakes on my mushrooms I love list above like crimini's.
Okay.
And I like plain just white button mm-hmm. mushrooms, and they have a lot of good nutrients in them. But I really like shiitakes.
Okay.
I like the texture and
I don't
the
think I've paid enough attention to them. I might revisit them.
I use them in place of all other mushrooms. If I they're the one mushroom I always have. So
okay.
Yeah. And also they're locally grown. Somebody's grown shiitakes, which Tom had mushrooms growing on some logs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in the day when he was making biochar and we were growing food. But we never really got good crops going. So I don't know. The local folks that are doing it have the secret.
Yeah.
So. And when it comes to all of that, growing your own food, I'm all for it. And I want all of you who do it to keep doing that and sharing it with me. I'll buy it. I will buy it. But I don't want to do it anymore. All our raised beds are gone.
Rarely do we solicit.
No, I just want to encourage. I want to encourage everybody who's doing it the right way to continue to do that and feed the rest of us. So
it is really something.
Yeah. It's a big project to grow your own food. Huge.
Yes.
Huge, huge.
I'm kind of gearing up towards Christmas baking.
Yes.
I know it's 3.5 weeks away, but...
3.5 weeks is nothing. It's December today.
I know.
It's nothing.
Let it snow. Yay!
Watch what you say.
I don't know. I would love to see it. But just making cookie doughs and sticking them in the freezer. And I am trying to think of a single cookie dough that you can't do that with. Just if you're feeling like you might have people over and you want cookies, just make a log of cookie dough and then just cut some off when they get here and cook them.
Yeah.
Bake them.
What about the alternately called Mexican wedding cookies or Russian tea balls or tea cakes or whatever you call them, whatever you call the wonderful little round cookies that are rolled in powdered sugar. Can you freeze that dough?
You can, but the thing with those is they're shortbread. And I have to tell you that they will just last perfectly till Christmas if you make them now.
Ah.
The thing is you have to have them in something airtight.
Yeah.
So I have done... I can't say brand names on the radio, but I have done experiments on zipper bags where I bought every kind of zipper bag I possibly could. And I blew them up. What I mean is I just blew air into a gallon one and I sealed it up so they look like pillows.
Uh-huh.
And I put sheet pans on them, left them overnight. They were all flat except for one. And what that means is if air can get out, air can get in. So it has to be something that is truly airtight. You know, most zipper bags are not going to work for that.
Uh-huh.
But because they're shortbread... They just keep so long. Any shortbread that you make now, you make shortbread and you can put it in tins. Yeah, forever.
Yeah.
I mean, how long do you think for your shortbread?
I'm trying to think because my mom made it for ever, all the time,
but
every week.
But 3 weeks is not a problem.
Oh, no, months.
Yeah.
Seriously,
yeah.
Months. If you have a good sealing cookie tin... You can keep it forever.
Yeah. It just has to be airtight.
Yeah. It's like fruitcake.
So those, I would just say now, make them now and tuck them into some place your children can't get them. And then I always put extra powdered sugar into, those containers because you know how they can get not gummy on the outside, it's like they didn't have enough powdered sugar for the powdered sugar to be dry on the outside. And so then you just give it a little... Not shake, you don't want to break them, but just a little roll around before you take them out of the container.
And then they all come out fluffy and gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh, I said fruitcake. I don't know why I said fruitcake, but it makes me think. If you're ever going to do fruitcake, this would be the time.
I love fruitcake. Yeah,
know,
it is time
too.
To make fruitcake.
I do too.
It's time to make springerly.
Oh,
if you're
going to
make molded cookies that you're going to decorate because you have that much time.
Yeah, we all have that much time. We should get together and have a gigantic Food Talk listeners making things that nobody wants to make by themselves.
All seven of us.
Session. We should. Yeah, we'll all fit in one kitchen. It would be fine.
Oh, somebody came up to me and they said, I'm one of your seven listeners.
What?
Yeah.
Were
out
they?
In the wild. Well, I didn't know them, and so we might have eight.
Let's not take a survey because somebody could have dropped out by now.
This is heady stuff.
Speaking of fruitcake, which we know you have to soak in bourbon or something multiple times before it's ready.
Yeah.
That's why it's always so moist. Oh, my God. All right. Well, you know what? Time's a waste, and we're almost off. I'm so happy to see you. And December.
Yeah. Well, and I could sing a song about the dump road, but I drove up it to get here this morning.
You did.
Oh, it was so great.
Well, sing us something.
Okay. I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. And after that, I'm going to listen to John Stevenson because he rocks. I'm driving my broccoli. I'm driving my cauliflower. Driving a bushel of corn home.
Thank you, Linda Perkins.
It's been so nice to see you. Thank you, all seven of you plus one. And I'm sorry that I didn't remember your name you told me, but I was in shock. Eight listeners.